from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro, and today for Michael Krasny. In our first half hour, we'll explore the dreamy, melodic, upbeat electropop of Tycho with the man behind it, the Bay Area's own Scott Hansen. Then at 10:30, artist and outdoorsman Obi Kaufman explains how to unlock the mysteries of his new California Field Atlas. This guidebook looks like it's emerged from a magical place akin to Middle Earth. It's chock full of hand-painted watercolor maps and drawings of plants and animals and infographics designed to unlock California's backcountry. That's all coming up after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro, in for Michael Krasny. San Francisco-based musician Scott Hansen, who records under the name Tycho, spent his 20s as a graphic designer who made electronic music in his spare time. Wow, how things have changed. Last year, Tycho earned a Grammy nomination for the album Epic. Hansen, who grew up outside Sacramento, joins us in studio now to talk about his career, his recent work, his upcoming New Year's show at the Fillmore. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I guess we'll start for the benefit of people who may not be incredibly familiar with your work. Can you explain it? Like, what's the elevator pitch?
Elevator is an apt term because a lot of people compare it to elevator music sometimes. I think the beauty of it is that it can blend in the background or it can become kind of this foreground element, but it's instrumental electronic music and kind of very layered and dense arrangements and things like that. I would compare it to maybe a new type of classical music in the respect that there's no lyrics and there's all these movements and it doesn't really adhere to pop music structures, or at least it didn't at
one
time.
It's not 3 to 5 minutes.
We've experimented with those ideas, especially recently with kind of trying to fit it into that mold of pop music and see how that works. So it's been interesting lately.
So now we're hearing a little bit of that music playing. We're playing Epic. So this is off the 2016 Grammy-nominated album of the same name. So you can kind of hear that. For people who haven't listened, it's just, you can really just get into the space. And that can be a private moment, it can be a public moment. Let's listen for a few seconds. So I've been saying Epic, but that can sound like it's EPIC.
Yeah, that was that.
What do you say?
Well, I say epoch. That's the UK pronunciation. Epic is actually the proper way to say it in US English. But I realized at the beginning doing interviews, people was like, "Oh, Epic. Yeah, it's a very epic record." And
it's a different word. Like surfer language.
Yeah, I started saying epoch just to make that a little bit easier.
Well, so you know, as I was mentioning, just as we're beginning to listen to some of this music, it can be both a very private experience where you're just listening late at night. It can be something you listen to on the playa at Burning Man. Do you have a preference how you like to hear your music? Do you prefer the private experience of composing versus the public experience of performing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the moment of inspiration and kind of creation is definitely the most personal moment where you have the most personal attachment to the music because, you know, you're the only person who's heard it at that point. And then when it goes out into the world, it becomes kind of part of a bigger experience for more people. But, you know, it's actually difficult to listen to my own music just because there's so much built into that. And you're like, oh, that I made that 8 years ago. I was way better then. Or this new one, you know, there's something wrong with this. I don't know. There's just so much built into anytime you hear your own music. So I have a hard time approaching it these days, but once in a while there'll be this moment where it comes on and you didn't expect it and you kind of get into the moment and listen to it just from a purely a standpoint of somebody just listening to music, and that's when it's the best.
You know, half a century ago, people like the Beatles knew they made it when they would be listening in the car with their girlfriend and suddenly the song comes on. All right, this is for real. I'm legit. Was there a moment like that for you, or do we not have those moments anymore in 2017?
Well, I do think, you know, the it's so much more diverse now. You know, there's internet radio stations. People consume much more eclectic music, I think, just in general, or just a broader range of music, because there isn't just these, like, here's the radio or here's TV. So, you know, that's great for artists like us where we have a lot of outlets. So I don't think, you know, there was a few times I did hear it on the radio and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. But I definitely think, you know, there was a couple waypoints where it felt like, okay, you know, when I was able to quit my job, or when we played like the first big festival we played, or like Coachella or something. And then the Grammy thing, you know, when that happened, the nomination, that was definitely like, wow, this is, you know, you can say you made it and you can support yourself making music and this is what you do. But then when you're recognized by something that you kind of thought of as this thing you would never in a million years have any interest from, this, you know, the real, I guess the real recording and music world, that was kind of a moment where it's like, okay, well, this is must have reached more people than I knew that it did.
Exactly, right. So we're talking with Scott Hansen, an electronic music artist who performs under the name Tycho. And I don't think I've had the chance to mention yet that you're performing on the 30th and the 31st at the Fillmore in San Francisco. That's definitely a measure of having made it, don't you think?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, that's also for us, it's a really meaningful, you know, I'm from Sacramento, and I lived here in the 90s, and some of the first shows I went to were at the Fillmore, so that was always a dream for us. And at the beginning of the last album cycle, that was the first show we played, was the Fillmore. And so this is kind of a nice bookend to, because this is going to be the last show, or these two shows will be the last shows of this album cycle. So I think that was 2014, so this is like a nice full circle moment for us.
Full circle moment. Well, I don't want to keep our listening audience out of the conversation. Come on and join us. Give us a call at 866-733-6786 with your questions for Scott Hansen, a.k.a. Tycho. That's 866-733-6786. You can email us, forum@kqed.org. You can contact us on Twitter or Facebook or on the web. We're checking all of those places for your comments. You know, you mentioned Sacramento, and one of the things I didn't really realize until I started reading up interviews in which you've talked about this is the creative impact the outdoors in California have on your work.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a big part of it. In Sacramento, I think I'm from Fair Oaks, which is like kind of a smaller suburb, a little bit east. And that, especially when we moved there in the early 80s, that was what I would consider a pretty rural area. You know, we were the first house in that area, and it was just some old like horse ranches and a stream and all that stuff. So, you know, just growing up in that environment, I think definitely informed my view of what the world was about. And when it came time to express that through music, you know, I didn't get into music till later, when I was about 20. And I just felt like all those things finally came. I never had found a way to express the feeling I had, you know, standing in a field as a kid or you know, going down by the river and stuff. I never had a way to express that. And I feel like music was the first time, particularly this type of music, that I was able to really take that and make something, a physical version of it that I could translate to other people, you know, because that wasn't something I felt like I could express through language.
And what do you think your music communicates about nature?
I'm not sure about that, but I just know that my music and music similar to it, this type of music is, for me, it's really evocative of spaces and open spaces. And, you know, that could be it could be a space inside of a building or some modern man-made place, but for me particularly, it feels like nature, and it feels like it's kind of exploring. I do think there's this really basic element of human consciousness that's rooted in kind of this ancient connection to nature. You know, we're animals, and all those things I think are still with us. They're still deep there inside, no matter how modern we make the world. So I think there's a longing to be connected to that, and it's so rare that we find a connection to that. And I think people are always searching for some small way to be reminded of that or reconnect. And I think that's the beauty of just music in general, is there's something very organic, no matter what type of music it is, just the medium of communication that music is just such, it's so core to the human experience. I think there's a big connection to nature with that.
I certainly find, you know, I guess I would describe your music like sweeping, soaring, cinematic. Like you almost imagine you taking flight. If you can imagine me flapping my wings here in the studio and, you know, really getting a bird's eye view of great landscapes. But enough of me. Let's head to the phones and talk now to Kyle in Sacramento.
Hi, am I on the air now?
Yes, you're on the air. What's your question, Kyle?
Awesome. I've actually listened to Tycho's music, so really cool to be able to listen and hear some EDM conversations on the radio as you see it's expanding. But as myself, I've been producing music since college. I think it's been like 5 or 6 years. Done a lot of tracks myself, but I'm wondering for yourself, you know, just making it into the light really quickly. At what point did you think that, you know, your music production, your mastering or engineering skills were high enough where you felt confident as well that, you know, you could release your tracks and it would be successful? Or you just thought like, hey, I'm not insecure about this anymore and I can completely let go and feel confident. So, yeah, that's my main question. And I'll take my question up there.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks. So I think, you know, it was a progressive process and it was slow. It was over many years. And I think, you know, from the moment I think it was probably about 4 or 5 years after I got my first like piece of equipment, like a drum machine and a synthesizer, before I felt confident enough to release something. And now listening back, you know, I do it a little bit differently, but you know, it was passable. I think the key is to just, you know, focus on the craft, but realize that you're always going to be getting better. So just start now, and you know, whatever's good now may not be good in 5 years, but just get it out there and just slowly build on that. I think that was the key. And I was living back in Sacramento at the time when I started releasing stuff, and it was just a slow process of putting stuff out on CDRs and then playing shows and all that stuff. So I think just go for it and just keep working on it, and you'll keep getting better.
You mentioned earlier that the concerts you're planning for the Fillmore on the 30th and the 31st are kind of like the tail end of this cycle with Epoch. Where do you see your music going after this?
You know, I think the beauty of I kind of think of those albums as a trilogy is from Dive, Awake, and Epoch, the most recent one. There was an album before that, but those feel like the modern kind of where it all came together, and they feel like the sound crystallized with those. So I think for me, it kind of put to rest this thing, this imperative that was in the back of my head, like you have to achieve this sound, like you have to take this sound to its logical extreme. So there's an element of that allows me to kind of let it go and maybe explore some new spaces. So I think it'll continue on some of the paths that were laid out in those albums. But I also feel like a really distinct urge to kind of go back to the start and take the skills and techniques that I've learned over these years and reimagine kind of some of the original ideas that I had when I started this thing and maybe explore a little bit more of the core of it, as opposed to such, you know, lately it's been kind of these tangential ideas.
Let's head back to the phones now, and Daniel in San Jose.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi. I just wanted to share a brief experience that I had listening to Tycho. First of all, thank you so much for releasing such an excellent album. A few months ago, my family experienced the very sudden passing of my mother, and the song Awake came on while I was sitting in a cafe in Portland visiting my sister, who had just gone through emergency surgery just a couple weeks after my mom's passing. And that song gave me, for the first time after some of the worst weeks of my life, an opportunity to relax and feel some calm and peace. And I just want to express my gratitude for that. It was a really profound experience for me, and I will definitely never forget it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you sharing that. And stories like that, I mean, just make you, I don't know, it's just so meaningful to know that anything you do has any small impact on people's lives. And I think that's the greatest, I think that's why I wanted to get into music, just because it's helped me so much, and it's been such a meaningful element of my life. And that's just the beauty of music. And it's really, I just feel fortunate to be able to be creating it. And it's awesome that it helps some people.
Daniel, we started playing Awake underneath just so that people could hear it again. It really is. It's just a gorgeous piece of music. And Daniel really does speak to the way in which music has that healing capacity that, you know, many arts do, but in a visceral way. You know, I can't get through a conversation with you without asking if you have, you know, any thoughts, any response to another tragedy that we experienced not too long ago with the Ghost Ship fire, something that, you know, hugely affected the local electronic music scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's indicative of a bigger problem that we've been having for a while in the Bay Area. I mean, I've been seeing it. This is the second time I've lived here, and both times I kind of saw it going this way. But now it just seems like, I don't know, to me, I feel like San Francisco is so far gone. We've already lost that community, and they've been, you know, a lot of people ended up in Oakland, and I see that happening there as well. And I think that was definitely kind of a moment of reflection for everybody. I hope that it results in something positive for the community, but I also feel like there's a lot of pressures that are at work here that are almost too big to stop without quite a bit of involvement from everybody. So, you know, I just hope it seems like people have been a lot more aware of the issue and have been working to find ways to alleviate it. But yeah, I just that was really devastating for a lot of people, and it speaks to what's going on here in the Bay Area right now.
This giant wrecking ball of real estate prices.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on again to the phones and John in San Francisco.
Hi there. So I follow a lot of different forums. You do a lot of AMAs on Reddit. I just wanted to say thank you so much for all of the knowledge that you've been posting about all of your production tips. I was wondering if you could speak to that. I mean, just how important it is to share everything that you've learned. I mean, I appreciate it so much, just seeing everything that you know.
I think I've always thought that was important, just because I feel like the technical processes can be the barrier to entry for a lot of people. I think for me, I didn't get started in music just because I thought of music as guitars and drums, and I didn't have access to those instruments, or just it seemed too difficult to learn. But I've always been technically oriented, so I found computers and you know, hardware as the entry point for me. And I feel like those things, if you're not technically oriented, those are almost necessary now to make music. So I feel like it's really important for people to share their experience and what they've learned in their process, just because if you give people a springboard like that, I think you'll see that it'll evolve into its own thing, and everybody will end up taking it and mutating it into their own version of it, you know?
Thank you so much for those comments, John. Let's turn now to Dylan in Lafayette.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. First of all, I just wanted to say thank you, Scott, for doing this. I've been listening to your music for a long time now, and I love your music. I saw you actually back in 2013, open for Pretty Lights at the Bill Graham Auditorium.
Oh, cool, yeah.
It was an amazing show. Just my question really quick, sorry to interrupt you. I wondered what your musical influences are and what you draw inspiration from. And furthermore, I know you're a digital artist and a photographer, and I just wonder how you use your creativity across mediums. I'm starting to get into photography, and I wonder how you do that so well. You really created an aesthetic that seems consistent through everything you create.
Oh yeah, well thank you. I think my initial influences were obviously just, well, was like folk and rock stuff. That's what made me want to make music. But then when I first heard DJ Shadow introducing, I was kind of like, okay, this is something totally different, and Ronnie Size and all that stuff. But then what really got me interested in this type of music was Boards of Canada and Ulrich Schnaus. And going back to kind of like the production stuff, that was a moment where I was like, I have no clue how this was made, but I really want to make this. So the process of decoding that was an interesting experience, and, you know, kind of found a bunch of different ways to do similar things. And then as for like the cross-discipline stuff, multidisciplinary, you know, like graphic design, photography, all that, I've always seen it as kind of one and the same. I feel like this is kind of cinematic music, and there's such a visual element to it that at one point I want to leave things open so that people can interpret it in their own way. But that on the other hand, I want to kind of finish the full picture. And that's what the imagery is about. And I was a graphic designer and a visual artist first. So the music is still something I'm kind of learning and filling in the gaps on.
Thank you so much for that great question, Dylan. Yeah. Let's keep charging through. I want to get a few more calls before we close out the half hour. Sarah in Cloverdale.
Hi. I actually was first, I found Tycho's music around in 2012. I was living in New York, actually. My boyfriend had just gone off to school, so I was by myself. And while he was away, we got bed bugs. And
oh, no.
I had to throw out a bunch of our furniture. So I was just sitting in the middle of our apartment with our speakers, because the speakers didn't have to go. And I listened to Dive, the whole album. And I know that's not usually the way people listen to the music, the live music nowadays. But I would just listen to it on repeat. And it felt just like very meditative and less lonely and less empty in the apartment.
Sarah, do you have a particular favorite track from Dive?
You know, I think it was the first track. I think it was Dive, because I would, like I said, I would just listen to the album on repeat, and I knew whenever I heard that song that the album was starting over again, and I could just listen to the whole album all over again. It was just very, very calming and very, very positive.
We're going to play a little bit of Daydream, which is also a track off of Dive. Thank you for those lovely comments, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
No problem. Thank you.
So let's turn now to Eric in Sacramento.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking the call. Scott, I had a quick question. I actually was at your guys' Coachella Weekend 2 performance, and for a lot of the hardcore fans in the crowd, I know that you guys brought on Beacon, and I believe that it was the first live performance with a vocalist, and so everyone was kind of, you know, freaking out. It was cool to see a lot of people, you know, getting excited to, you know, to the dreamy music that you guys play. And so I would just want to know how that happened, and I heard that it was kind of like a spur of the moment thing to, you know, have that arrangement set up. So I just wanted to hear kind of how you guys set that up.
Yeah, that was, I believe that was the first time. But yeah, Tom from Beacon and Jacob, both of them, they've been good friends for a long time. We're on the same label, Ghostly. And, you know, I've just always been a fan of their music. And we wanted to do something special for that performance just because it felt like the moment to add something to it. And I've always wanted to work with vocals. So we were touring with them at that time. And yeah, I was just talking to Tom, and it ended up working out, and it was a good time. And then we actually did that a few more times on tour. So it was a good experience.
And anything else you want to talk about this upcoming performance that we're expecting at the Fillmore, December 30th and 31st?
Yeah, we're calling it the anthology. So we're playing songs from the first two records, from Passage Prologue and Dive, and then the first night on the 30th, and then the 31st it's going to be Awake and Epoch. So like just to kind of finish this whole thing off and do this retrospective is going to be really special. And then just to share New Year's Eve with fans. We've never headlined a show on New Year's Eve. So this is going to be interesting to see how that goes.
Well, Scott Hansen, a.k.a. Tycho, what a pleasure talking with you. I feel like we could keep going for 2 hours if we had it.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
We'll listen to a little bit of music as we head out. A reminder again that this is Daydream, by the way. A reminder again that Tycho performs December 30th and 31st at the Fillmore in San Francisco. Believe it or not, you're listening to Forum. This is Rachel Miro.